Today's gospel lesson is about two revolutionary, bold prophets of the New Testament. Really, the first two prophets of the New Testament who believed in the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And really, the very first two Christians. One is a woman named Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist. And the other is Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's interesting that when Dr. Luke, not the vet Dr. Luke, but Dr. Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke, when he started his orderly and decent account of the life of Jesus, he started with the testimony of two women. God, as God often does, brings believers together in similar circumstances in unexpected ways to support and encourage each other in their faith. In this case, it's the angel Gabriel who drops a hint to Mary that she might find that she and her cousin Elizabeth might have an extraordinary experience with God in common. So Elizabeth and Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, was one of the important priests of the kingdom of Judah. And they had prayed for decades for a child, but she had been barren. So when Gabriel comes to Mary to announce that she will bear God into the world, Gabriel also says, "Oh, by the way, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. But then Luke says, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb.'" And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, really, this is the part, if this were a musical, this is the part where the lead character would burst into song. This is a song. Mary begins to sing, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, now from all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So these words out of Elizabeth's mouth is what jumped off the page at me this week. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Blessed are the ordinary people who believe that God will work in extraordinary ways in this world, and that perhaps everyday ordinary people are part of God's plan. Blessed are those who believe that God's mercy and love makes us all equals, rich and poor, old and young, powerful and the humble. I discovered this week that my phone has this miraculous feature on it called the magic eraser. So, and you might have seen this advertised on TV. I couldn't believe that I actually had something that would do this. While we were in Edinburgh, my daughter-in-law took some photos of Merle and I in front of Edinburgh Castle. So I was flipping through them to see what they looked like, and I stopped on one, and my phone says, "Do you want to remove the people from the background?" And I said, "Yes." And poof, they were gone. It looks like Merle and I were the only two tourists at that place that morning. Dozens of people disappeared. So this is a pretty cool tool to improve your personal family pictures. But I will tell you, as a journalist, this kind of thing makes me very, very nervous, and I am very, very concerned about it. We've talked about this for years. Photoshop is a program that does the same thing, and you can manipulate pictures to look different from what they really are. And I think we're hearing a lot about this in the news these days, about how photos and words and even voices, even our voices and video, can be manipulated to put people in places where they were not, or to make them say things that they did not say. So the question is becoming more and more for us, what can we believe? What can we really believe is true? And we should pay very close attention to how what we believe shapes our lives. Your beliefs dictate your actions. If you believe the world is coming to an end, then you stock up on canned vegetables and you hide in your bomb shelters. If you believe that everyone is out to get you, then you lock yourself inside your house and you never come out. But if you believe that God acts through plain, ordinary, everyday people like you and me, and maybe God will act through us to change the world, well, then you live your life every day. You wake up and you start to look for those opportunities. We all know the word believe. We look at that and we say, well, I believe what can be proven true based on data and facts. So I believe the sky is blue. I believe the world is round and not flat, like maybe some people believed back 500 years ago. I also believe the world revolves around the sun and not around me, which some people believe. But, you know, our beliefs can also be deeply held convictions, often based on our own personal experiences. We only need to flip on the TV news to know that people can have very different beliefs based on facts and their experiences, and deeply held convictions that are miles apart philosophically. But Christians need to think more deeply about the word belief. So the first part of the word to be, means we exist. We are living beings. Second part of the word, leaf or leave, comes from a very, very, very old word that actually means to love, or to be with your beloved, or to care deeply or passionately, or even to sing praises. So the word belief means to be in love. To be in love because you believe in a person, you believe in God, you believe in a conviction, you believe it so much you love that. You know, we can come to church every week and express our belief in God. But James wrote in his letter, well, good for you. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. In the 1800s, one scholar wrote, faith is neither the submission of reason, nor is it the acceptance, simply and absolutely, upon testimony of what reason cannot reach. Faith is the being able to cleave to a power of goodness, appealing to our higher and real self, not our lower and apparent self. So, does what you believe about God make you someone who wants to live to please God? And does what you believe line up with what is said and revealed in the scriptures about how Jesus lived, about what God says is important? You know, it's able that Mary and Elizabeth are able to believe in God acting through them in miraculous ways because they are well educated about God. Earlier in the scripture, in the first paragraphs of Luke, Luke says Elizabeth is the wife of the priest, and that doesn't just make her a good person by association. Luke notes she and her husband were both righteous before God. They walked blamelessly in the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. Elizabeth was a strong, faithful individual on her own merits, not just because of who she was married to. And when Mary bursts into song, her song echoes another song of a woman who gives joy about the baby that God has granted to her in 1 Samuel, a woman by the name of Hannah, who also was not able to have a baby. But when she sings, "For he is mighty who has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." She knew that scripture, and she'd heard those words repeated in the Psalms. Plus, after the angel comes to visit Mary, she does something that is extraordinary and brave and unbelievable. She travels 80 miles through the hill country, apparently by herself, to go be with Elizabeth, because Gabriel has told her that Elizabeth is also going to have a baby. Now, you know, she didn't have an ox cart to her name. She didn't hop in her Ford SUV or take her cell phone along with her. She made this trip on her own to be with someone else who she believed could verify and share the same experience that she was having. You know, that takes some guts on Mary's part. How far would you be willing to stick your neck out and your reputation and your comfort zone to seek out fellow believers to support and encourage one another against all worldly hope or reason. Say that God will fulfill God's purpose, promises, and may on occasion use ordinary, everyday people like us. Even if all you had to do was get in your car and drive across town, or pick up the phone and offer a word of encouragement to someone. Now, I am always privileged that I get to hear some stories of some extraordinary experiences that have happened to people. People don't always talk about these very much. Number one, because they're afraid people will think they're crazy. And maybe they think I'm crazy. Maybe that's why they tell me these things. Number two, sometimes they're just so holy. You don't want to share them with someone else. You want to kind of ponder them in your heart the way Mary did. And maybe they don't happen all the time, but I think they happen far more often than we notice or pay attention to. You know, most of my days that I am here, and I wake up with, okay, God, who is going to be in my path today? And sometimes I can have these unintentional conversations with, like, people in the grocery store. But later I think, oh, God, yeah, right, that wasn't unintentional, was it? But things happen sometimes that we can't explain. You know, after my dad died, and my mom was living out on the farm in the middle of nowhere, I mean, almost immediately, this great big black dog showed up and slept on her front porch, on her deck. And it was a scary looking dog. I was kind of scared of it, but it was very gentle, and she fed it. She wasn't scared of it. And as she went through some of those really dark, hard days of her life trying to figure out what she was going to do next, that dog stayed on her front deck until she made the decision to move to Belleville, and it disappeared. I don't think that was a coincidence. You know, sometimes when I have these conversations with people, most often, God has confirmed to me something that I've been praying about and given me a message that I need to hear. Sometimes I hope, but on rarer occasions, that maybe I am able to magnify God to someone else who needs a word of encouragement. What this scripture really said to me this week was how important it is that we worship in community. Sometimes even just very small communities, but how important it is for people who really believe, who love God, to come together and profess that in worship and to share our lives together. One of the great experiences I got to have on vacation was that when we were in Edinburgh, we worshiped on Sunday morning at St. Giles Cathedral, which is in the middle of what's called the Royal Mile. Edinburgh Castle is on top of a hill, and the palace is at the bottom of the mile. And St. Giles is pretty much the mother church of Presbyterians. It is where John Knox preached for decades in the 1500s, and he's sort of believed to be the founder of the Presbyterian faith. He also advocated for the execution of Mary, Queen of Scots. So he wasn't perfect, but it was a privilege to go to be at this church, which for us is a major historic site. But the Royal Mile is really just sort of a den of thieves right now, of souvenir shops and pubs and people bagpiping, because you expect to see that in Scotland, and everybody proclaiming to be the inspiration for Harry Potter. You know, and so right in the middle of this street, there's this cathedral, and all of these tourists milling around, even on a Sunday morning. And so when we went up to the front door, there's this very nice gray-haired woman standing at the door with her programs, and she said, "Are you here for worship or are you here for a tour?" said, well, we're here for worship. And she said, oh, step right this way. Come right this way. And led us into the sanctuary, you know, which of course is beautiful and gorgeous, and they have an amazing organ. But maybe the same way we all feel on Sunday morning, did not have nearly as many people there as I would have expected to see and worship at this grand cathedral. And we were all pretty gray-haired. But it was just such a comforting thing to be 1,000 miles away from home and still be surrounded by my people. Wouldn't have to be Presbyterians necessarily, but people who intentionally stepped out of the hustle and bustle and the excitement of the street to sit in a quiet sanctuary and hear the same scriptures that we hear each week and sing some of the same hymns that we sing each week. And I picked up their newsletter on my way out. I've really enjoyed reading this because it's the same challenges that we face each week. Their pastor has just retired and they're discerning what their next, how God is calling them to serve next. And they're going to merge with another congregation because these two congregations aren't large enough to continue to support themselves. And they have this really great ministry where they have a food pantry, but they started to buy microwaves for people because they realized that a lot of poor people who get food from the food pantry don't have a way to cook it. Now, to know that there are people who believe and love Jesus enough that they will battle traffic and tourists for 1 hour in a sanctuary that most people just walk by and check off their historic site list. That's a good reminder that there are people out there like us who still believe that God will fulfill what God has promised. You know, we all love this song at Christmas, Mary, Did You Know? And it turns out I think Mary knew quite a bit. That God led her to seek out the one person who might believe her story and would have the maturity and the faith and the compassion and the kindness to help each of them strengthen each other for what was going to come next. Mary is going to face some hard times in her life. This baby is not going to be born in the best circumstances. She and her husband are going to have to escape to Egypt in the middle of the night so that the baby won't be murdered. She will watch that child grow into a man of grace and truth and kindness and compassion, only to have other people ridicule him. Watch that son die while other people laugh and make fun. Then she will see him alive again, the fulfillment of God's promise. I suspect that many times in her life when things looked bleak, she leaned on her belief that God's promises that she knew from God's word, the experiences she held in her heart, and the beauty of God's word she saw in her son as he grew from a baby to a man. Let me tell you what God has done for my soul. He who is mighty has done great things for me. His mercy is for them who fear him from generation to generation. Blessed are those of you who believe that there will be fulfillment of what is spoken to us by the Lord. Amen.